My co-authors and I are all in the business of developing teachers. And so we were in search of how to do this better and how to make people better at their work. And so we started reading, you know, there's been a wave of books about practice, about talent, rather. The Talent Code, Talent's Overrated, Outliers. And they all drew from these studies by Anders Ericsson about the transformative power of deliberate practice. We were completely persuaded by the power of practice from this, but we didn't actually find anything that told us what would make deliberate practice, what deliberate practice looked like. And what we had in our minds was this notion of the mundane practice that we had kind of been put through as children, you know, the piano lessons and the, you know, kind of punishing soccer practices. So we you know, set out to figure out what this would look like. So some of the principles that we came upon, you know, some of them are counterintuitive and some of them were surprising, and some of them I think are kind of surprisingly simple. But the first one is encoding success. So it's this idea that what you do repeatedly in practice is what you'll do in the game. And that we want people to practice doing something successfully, therefore, so that they will do it successfully in the game. You know, there's all, you know, the 10,000 hours of practice that people say you need to become an expert. If you, you know, practice incorrectly for 10,000 hours, then you certainly won't become an expert. So we found that, you know, we, just to give you an example, we had set up a role play for teachers to practice a specific skill. And we realized really early on that the way we had set it up, we made the challenge of the drill too high. And so what we were watching people do is fail at this drill over and over again. And so what they were practicing doing was failing. And so we realized that what we needed to do was change the way that we are setting up this drill, this role play for them, so that we could have them be successful, experience success, do it again, get even better at it, and then gradually and deliberately increase the levels of challenge.
But isn't practice also about making mistakes and learning from those mistakes?
Absolutely.
Nobody does it right the first time, right?
Absolutely. And that's something that we, you know, it's another one of our principles, which is that we have to normalize errors, that we want to make sure that everybody understands that making errors is something that we're all going to do as part of practice and that we're all going to learn from. But we also found that it needs to be the right level of challenge. So to kind of go and fail, you know, have a colossal failure where you fall flat on your face and you don't make any progress toward your goal is not actually helpful. And that there's another piece of that, which is that getting feedback in the moment is really important. So yes, if you practice once and you make, you know, you have failure, to get feedback and then immediately be able to apply that feedback so that you can be successful can completely transform somebody's practice or somebody's performance.
When learning a new skill, we often take one step forward, then a step back, two steps forward, then a step back. You do it right on Monday, you stumble a bit on Tuesday, it gets better on Wednesday, then you fall back a bit on Thursday. Is that normal?
Absolutely. I think improvement is definitely, it's not necessarily a linear thing, you know, and I see that when I'm working with adults as well as working with children. But I think it's another piece of, you know, we want to practice what we're good at. Again, it's something that we don't always think about doing. When we think about practicing, we think about, oh, we're gonna apply practice to those things that we're just not good at yet. But in fact, if we practice the things that we're already good at, then we start to really routinize those things, you know, that we're good at, and we'll see that we can build on that initial success and then add new skills in.
How does this information, how does this technique work for young teachers, which you work with?
It works really, really well. And I think they are, in some ways, they're the most open to it. When they come in and this is their first teaching experience, we start off, I would say, probably day two that they come to our school with practice. And so that's all they know. You know, they just assume, okay, this is what we do. And the other exciting thing is that we start with just very small pieces of what their job entails, and we practice those things over and over again, and they can see themselves getting better every day. So every day they come in, we do professional development for the first 3 weeks before our students ever arrive. And so those new teachers can just see every day how much better and better they get. So it's actually one of the best parts of my job.
Can everyone get better with practice, or are some people just born good at something?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, based on, just to speak specifically about teaching, we all believe, Doug, Eric, and I all believe that that people can get better at teaching, that it's something that some people, you know, maybe have quicker improvement in particular areas because of the skills that they come with. But I think, you know, Doug has really done a fantastic job of really analyzing what outstanding performance looks like and breaking it down into pieces that are very easy to teach people and for people to then practice. And that has allowed us to feel like we can teach people how to do this. It's not something that you're just born being able to do. There's no, like, mystery to it.
Another one of your 42 rules is practice the 20. What does that mean?
So practice the 20 is about identifying what are the highest leverage skills. What are the things that, you know, kind of most of your results come from? You know, what are the things that you want your, you know, that will most contribute to your performers having a top performance? That when you identify what those 20% of, you know, their skill set, what those 20% are, that's what you should focus on. You'll get, you know, it's an economic model where you get 80% of your results from that 20%. So just focusing on that can help, you know. Otherwise, it can be a little bit daunting to think about, oh my gosh, to practice everything that we have to do on a day-to-day basis. There's quite a lot of skills involved. But we really think if you focus on that top 20%, that you'll reap quite a bit of value.